This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
My grace is enough, it's sufficient. My power or my strength is made perfect in weakness. And dis presies waaroor ek vanoggend wil gesels, is grace. The grace of God. The power of God, the strength of God, the enablement of God. En ek wil toe nie die skrif deel hê, want ek dog, ek slot hom sommer in hier by my. Ek het hom nie nou op hier, maar ek gaan hom sommer bysit, want hy het nou opgekom. En hier bring Jamari. Jamari bring die skrif. En die Here sê eintlik maar net, vestig julle aandag op dit. Ek wil ietsie vir julle sê. En ek het nie vir, ek weet nie die setlist, ek het nie eers geweet full worship, maar ons sing Amazing Grace. Weet, van al die liedjies wat jy kan sing, is hy ingeslaat. So ek sê maar net vir julle, dit is nie toevallig, he. Die Here wil ietsie vir ons sê. So kom ons, kan dalk ons aandag vestig op dit wat hy vir ons wil sê. Want wat hy vir ons het, is altyd goed. Amen. Hoekom? Want hy is goed. Amen. Alright, so ek wil vir hom dankie sê so lank daarvoor en dan gaan ons bietjie in die woord in klim en kyk wat hy vir ons verder wil sê rondom dit. So Lord, I thank you for this morning. We thank you as a house for the privilege, God, of coming together. We thank you and come to understand that the reason that we are here is because of your goodness, because of your kindness, because of your love, Lord. It is you that brought us to this place, Lord. It's you that opened our eyes for the truth of the gospel. It is you, Holy Spirit, that continuously reveals Christ unto us, Lord. It is you, Holy Spirit, that break open truth for us to understand. And as we see and as we understand, God, I thank you that that truth will set us free. So Lord, I thank you for this morning that you've set a table. I thank you, God, that we can come and feast for us in the midst of our enemies, God. Lord, I thank you that you've already spoken this morning. I thank you that you are God with us, that you are not far, that you are near, that you are Emmanuel. Hallelujah. I thank you because you are here. Your kingdom is here. Because the kingdom is joy, peace, and righteousness. In the Holy Spirit. I thank you that we can experience that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. I thank you that I can ask you for grace this morning. I thank you that I can ask you for a great clarity and an understanding for what you want to communicate and convey to us, Lord, this morning. In the name of Jesus. And I will say, Amen. Amen. Ons wil baie keer soek, it's the knowledge generation, we're seeking after more and more and more knowledge. But God says that power is in hearing and doing, not knowing. The power lies in hearing and doing. There's a word for that called Shema that they used at that time. So it's automatically as we hear, we obey. And like Stefanus said, that, you know, die liedjie wat ons sing, my sien keer nou dat gesing, maar ek het al vergeet die wyse hoe dit gaan, maar jy het, die wijse man bou sy huis op die rots, die wijse man bou sy huis op die rots, en dan die dwaase man bou sy huis op die sand, hy loop en sing die liekie, en ek besef, die skrif sê, en ek het nooit besef, die skrif sê, wie bou, hoe bou ons op die rots, en ons, my kop is, Jesus is die rots, jy weet, ons bou op die rots, gaan aan met bou, die skrif sê, jy hoor, en wanneer jy doen, bou jy op die rots, nie wanneer jy net hoor, so ons kan baie goed hoor, but it's in the doing that we are building actually on the rock. And may the Lord help us, may He empower us this year to do just that. As we hear what He's saying, that we will build on the rock by doing exactly that. So I wanted to ask you a question, which I will not ask any longer, because it's not applicable any longer, but if I say grace, what comes up? If I say grace, what definition comes to mind if I mention grace? I can still ask you. Gaan allemaal afkijk en wegkijk. Unmerited favor, that is correct. Something else? It's what they need for dini. It is free. It is a gift that is correct. Something else? Enabling power. So grace is that and more. The word used in the Greek, just sometimes the Greek words are, there's different meanings to the same word in a different context. And the Greek word for grace has different meanings depending on the context which it is used in. And like Karen mentioned, for me and most of us, the natural, the first definition is unmerited favor. It is a gift. It is something that God gives us that we do not deserve. We receive His forgiveness. We didn't earn it. He gave it to us, and that is 100% correct. And that's important to know. So there is a lot of scriptures, because grace is fundamental to our walk with Christ. Many scriptures, I think it's about 130 or something like that. I saw a figure. But there's a lot of scriptures talking about grace, mentioning grace, different contexts. But it is an important thing to understand. And I want to look at a few, just a few well-known ones. This is a breë oorsig wat ek gou vinnig wil hê ons moet kyk. Ek is baie dankbaar vir die krag wat hier af is. Ek is hou wat hou van my slides, Pieter ook. Maar ek voel redelik hulpeloos sonder my slides, aangesien ons baie skrifte gaan deurwerk en ek hulle veel as hier en daar ingekleer het. So kom ons kyk gou na net so 'n paar van hulle. Ek gaan relatief vinnig gaan. Jy kan hulle neerskryf as jy wil, as jy hulle na die tyd wil hê. Is welkom om vir my te vra. Ek gaan nie so baie tyd spandeer om elke skrifie se naam te gee nie, want dit gaan 'n bietjie tyd mors. So jy kan loer en jy kan notas neem van daai skrifte as jy wil. Ek gaan hulle net lees soos wat hulle verskyn. Jillian, is ons bord aan? Werk hy? Good. Alright, so die bekende ene is, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. To the praise of His glorious grace. Is my volgorde dieselfde? Yes. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves, that's Jesus. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Okay, dis net 'n paar van baie verskillende skrifte, maar what we see from these scriptures is that we are saved by grace through faith. That we are justified by grace, or justified, or justification, just meaning that we've made, not just forgiven, made as if we never sinned before. That's really profound. It's freely given, it's a gift. Important, it is in Christ. Grace itself is in Christ, and that it is accessed through faith or by faith. And I want to touch quickly on something that Peter mentioned last week. Briefly, he mentioned a scripture that I want to revert to quickly. It's in Colossians 1:29. I don't know if I have that one on. I don't think so. Maybe later. But it's a short one. It says, "For this I toil," or "for this I labor," struggling or striving with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. For this I labor, I strive, I work with all His energy that He provides, that He gives unto me. So we can labor, we can work, as Peter mentioned, we can do things, but we don't have to do it with our energy or with our strength. Ons kan dit leen, ons kan dit aanvra, ons kan dit outsource. And we have one source that never runs dry, that is always at the fullness of its power, always at the fullness of its energy. And that is something that we will look into. There's another scripture that I quickly, I think it's also a well-known one. It says, His divine power has given us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life itself and godliness. Hallelujah. Now, I believe this power mentioned in those scriptures is the grace of God. And like I've said previously, it is the correct definition. It is unmerited favor. And it is kindness. And it is the fact that we have been forgiven. It is freely given unto us. But as I came to Christ, this was the definition of grace. It's something that we should be thankful for. It's also true. Continuously reminded that the reason why we are saved, the reason why we can come into His presence is not by our works, our doing, but it is by the power of His grace. And so as I read grace, a lot of scriptures, a lot of verses, as I read the word grace, that definition automatically registers. Ek hoef nou, ek denk nie specific daar oor nie, maar subconsciously, that definition is the only one that I know. So I just fit it into whatever I'm reading. But there's more to grace, and I want to have a look into the scriptures that specifically show this for us. It's very clear, it's very evident. There's a lot more scriptures. I just want to give you a definition. Like I said, there's a lot of different concordances and dictionaries that gives a few definitions, because there is more than one depending on the context. But the one I want to read, it says, grace is especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Grace is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That grace itself, now in my definition, maybe it's not yours, it was only something given so that I can come to Christ and then it's done. Word het gestop. Ek het nie meer nodig nie. But in this definition, it says that it has an influence upon the heart, soveel so, that it is reflected in the life of a person. It's not a concept. It is a power. It is something that actively has an influence. It's sort of a definition of power many times. It has an influence. It has an influence so that it is reflected. It is working something that it brings forth change that people can see. Wow, there's grace. Grace is working in this person's life or in this situation. And the scripture that specifically mentions this is in Acts 11:23. And it's Paul and Barnabas. And it says when he came to Antioch, he said, when he arrived, he saw the grace of God. When he arrived, he saw the grace of God. He rejoiced and encouraged them all to abide in the Lord with all their hearts. So he didn't only hear of the grace of God, but he physically came there and he saw, wow, he has an influence that has worked. And I can see it reflecting from them, and it is grace. I know it's grace. Paul Barnabas says that it's grace. It was grace doing that work. The power of grace working in the life of a person, of a believer. And let's look at Acts 14:26. I'll come to the reason why I'm sharing this. It's fairly obvious, but I'll pack it out a bit more because it's personal as well. We'll get to that. For now, just have a look at the scriptures, hear what the Lord is saying to you. All right. So finally, they, that's Paul and Barnabas in this case, returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted, or delivered, or handed them over to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. So the believers in Antioch handed them over into something. And that something had a specific purpose. It was to do a work that God has set out for them to do. The thing that they handed them over into was the grace of God. They didn't just hand them over to God. They specifically handed them over to the grace of God to do something, to do a work which God has showed them to do at that specific place. Now we read Acts 15:40. It says the same thing, a different situation. It says, having been entrusted, handed over by the brothers to the grace of God. So what this communicates is, in that time, in Acts, it was obvious for them that grace is power. It's the power of God. So when the Lord spoke, or when disciples or apostles had to go to an area, what they did is they handed them over into the power, which is referred to as the grace of God, to accomplish that work. Seeing it. If it's not obvious, it shall become obvious right now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, Paul speaking, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Paul says, klink so bietjie vir 'n oomblikie, dink jy, ja, hy is nog ons bietjie wind gehad. Hy sê hy werk harder as hulle almal. But quickly he says, though it was not I, but Paul was doing the work. So what's happening here? It's the grace, but the grace of God that is with me. It allowed Paul, he clearly understands this. Hy sê, dis ek wat like harder as almal werk, omdat ek is mal sterk en ek is het 'n groot kapasiteit en so aan. Nee, hy sê, I've worked harder than all of them. But it wasn't Paul. It was the grace of God, the power of God, working in his life, working through his life. But then I see something that he mentioned. So he talks about the past tense. He said, he worked harder. But then he says, but the grace of God that is with me. So the grace was there for the past to do whatever he needed to do there. But he knows and he is aware that grace, the power of God, is still with him. It is still there for whatever lies ahead, for whatever God is calling him into. And then Colossians 1:29, I think I have it on now. It is what Peter said. Oh, I don't have it. Sorry. For this I toil, for this I labor, struggling with all his energy. In essence, he's saying the same thing. Paul is working. The work that Paul did, he understood that it wasn't Paul. It was a power working through Paul. It was the power of God working through Paul. And that is called grace. Lekker is dit om te dink aan. Dink daar's 'n bron. Ja, as ek nou nie Eskom as 'n voorbeeld gebruik nie. But daar's 'n source. Had never load shedding in that particular case, which we in the past wouldn't think anything about, but in our context now, we understand. And that would be very nice to not have a stage 8 coming at you. But there's a source of energy that we can tap into. Not in vain. Paul says the grace he received it, so you can receive it in vain. You can receive it and do nothing with it. Or do your own thing. But he said he didn't receive it in vain. He used it for the purpose. For what God has called him to do. So the last thing, just to illustrate, this is the power of God. It's the enablement of God. It's supernatural. It is divine. But the one, I just want to quickly reference it, is two scriptures which mention specifically that grace strengthens. It says in Hebrews, says, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Once again, if our only definition is unmerited favor, or our only definition is that we needed it at our salvation point, but now only we revert back to it and say, yo, we're thankful for the grace of God, which is true, but it has more functions than only that. It is still at work with us, and it is strengthening us, strengthens the heart in this case. And then Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ. So we need grace to be strengthened, to be empowered, to not only be saved, but also to grow continuously in Christ. There's other scripture, I can't remember where it is, but it says something that in the grace that we grow in. So we are actually growing in grace. Anything is amper wat Paulus hulle sê, een saai, een maak nat, maar dis God wat die groei bring. So that's exactly that. It is grace. It is the power of God that brings forth growth. All right. So that's important. That's the foundation that I wanted to lay, that you see clearly that from Scripture, grace is the power of God. Also the power of God and all the others. But in the context that we read, it is referred to as the power of God. Quickly, I want to look the time. All right. So quickly, what grace is not, because it's important for the time that we are living. But as I read the scriptures, it was clear that it was a problem coming from that time onwards. So it's not a new thing. So some people, you've heard about hyper grace. Who've heard about hyper grace? All right. So basically, it says it's a new teaching, a wave of teaching that mostly focus on grace, but the grace that they are talking about is the grace that oversees everything. So there's no holiness, there's immorality. It's okay to live in sin. Is okay because grace. We're not under law. We're under grace. So beteken jy kan lewe. Ek som dit vir julle op. Jy kan lewe. Dis nie so blatant nie. Dit is maar net wat tussen deur is. A false teaching. So it says that jy kan lewe soos wat jy wil. Daar gaan nie iemand vir jou vra eendag. God gaan nie vir jou vra hoe jy so give account of your life and this and that. And you just go on because we're under grace. Sin, don't have to confess sin. It's okay. Grace is there. Grace oversees everything in our lives. Now it's just a license given to do whatever we like. All right. So I saw Jude 1:4. It says, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. It perverts, it turns, that teaching turns the grace of God into something it is not. Something, he says specifically, a license for immorality. A license, you can do whatever you want to do. And that is not the grace of God. So true grace will lead to righteousness, will lead to godliness, will lead to holiness. And it's, as we understand the power of grace, that we will continuously, day by day, learn to trust and rely upon the grace because it is a power. So somewhere it says, I think it's in Romans, it says when sin increases, grace abounds even more. Grace becomes even more. And it says that, hopefully I have it here, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. You're under the power of God. Sin will not have dominion, will not reign and rule over you. Titus says, for the grace of our God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training, teaching us to do what? To renounce, to reject ungodliness and worldly passions. To live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. That is what the grace of God does. It teaches us to walk away from ungodliness. To walk away from sin. Grace isn't only there for when we have sin. It's there to empower us not to sin. Do you see this? Do you understand this? So know that when you hear of that sort of grace that I've mentioned, it is not the grace of God. That is the perverted grace. And that teaching has been going on for centuries. It's not a new teaching. It's not a new wave of teaching. It's been always been there. And we need to see it for what it is. All right. Where do we find grace? It's important. So I've talked about grace, the power of grace. But where do we find grace? We say grace is in Christ. And it is accessed through faith. Although it is given freely, it is a free gift, it is accessed through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So faith is important for grace. Hebrews 4 says, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Boldness draw near to the throne of grace. To do what? To obtain mercy and to find grace in a time of need. Hallelujah. We can walk into God's throne room and we say, Lord, this situation now with the understanding that grace is the power and grace is the enablement of God, we can come into His throne room and say, Lord, I need grace for this situation, for the studies, for the business, for a mom I've come to learn. You need a lot of grace. Moms, bless you. So why I shared this message or what God has been saying, not only to me, but to us then, is as Peter mentioned, the beginning of the year, we're excited for the year. And I was the opposite of excited for the year. Last year, the close of last year, as I was thinking, it was a tough year in different ways. And as I come to realize, or I came to realize that a lot of things is going to continue. A lot of things is just going to keep on going. And some of them are going to escalate. The responsibilities, you know, just different things that you have on your plate becomes more sometimes. And looking at that, I became discouraged. And ek was nie lus vir die jaar nie. Ek was nie lus om weer in dit in te gaan nie. Al wat ek wou doen eintlik is om bietjie terug te trek in sekere areas. Dit wat God eintlik vir my vra vir die werk of die en daar waar ook al dit mag wees, ek wil bietjie terugtrek want ek wil nie onder daai druk wees nie. Ek wil nie daai selfde hoeveelheid energie en krag moet uitoefen om kop bo water te hou in sekere sens nie. And this is what God's, I didn't want to talk to Him for a while, to be honest, because I knew what He was going to say. So ek het so 'n bietjie gesulk. Dit is vir 'n tydjie. So ek sê, "Oh man, kan jy vir die Here vra? Want ek wil doen wat Hy vir my vra, want ek weet dit is die beste ultimately, maar dis nie wat ek wou hoor op daai stadium nie. Soos nee, het, of hy bly net stil, dan weet jy, dis wat hy laaste gesê het. So ek het nie na hom toe gegaan nie en ek sulk en ek kom agter wel dit help ook nie eintlik nie. En eventually soos 'n verlee, soos mondjies by status in die bene kom maar weer terug na die Here toe. But He's so gracious, He's so good and He just reminded me of the grace of God. His empowerment to whatever He is putting in front of us. Christian Gerber sê altyd, weet, die Here gaan jou nie nooi vir 'n pizza en dan moet jy die rekening betaal nie. Hy gaan nie vir ons vra om sekere goeders te doen en dan nie actually vir ons die vermoë gee, die means gee, wat ook al dit vereis om daai taak te kan uitvoer nie. And what I realized then was my lens was like the spies that came back with a wrong or a different report. My lens wasn't correct. I was looking through my strength, my abilities, my capacity, my provision. And then I was looking at the output and I saw, Shabbat, it's not going to match. And then I became discouraged and not wanting to really engage with a lot of these things. And then God showed me this and reminded me to tune my lens or to calibrate my lens in a sense, to look through His strength, through His eyes, through His abilities, because then things start to look different. Then you are in the position of Elijah, same position as Gehazi, but the outcome is different. Then your report is different to the other spies, but Caleb and Joshua, they were excited about what's going to happen because they were looking through a different lens. It's a very small shift, but it has a massive repercussions in the way that we feel, the way that we respond, and the way that we live. And to come to the last conclusion is this is the specific word that as I prepared that God had for this morning for some of you. And it's a well-known one, but there's a profound relationship between the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. That we cannot, it's impossible to walk in the grace of God without the Holy Spirit, without walking with the Holy Spirit. So whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, the provision for that is the grace of God. It's an amazing relationship. It's really profound. And the word is, it's a well-known one. I think most of you will know it. We quote it a lot of times. But I think if we understand the context of when the word was given in that time, what was the situation, it will have a bigger impact on us. And it's very quickly, I just want to revert to that. So at the time of the when the Jewish people were coming back from exile from Babylon, they had a leader, Zerubbabel, and God gave him a specific task that as they came back to Jerusalem, that he should rebuild the temple. And as they came out of that captivity, they settled down and they started to rebuild the temple. And as they were doing that, sooner than later, they started to get some opposition of different kinds. And so feel sure that at one stage, I think it was about 16 years, it says, that there was no building. No building of the temple. Het gestaan. Imagine you bouw een huis of a ding. Right, 16 jaar kan je niet verder bouwen hierdie ding. So then you start to wonder, it was something that happened there, a king was in position and he gave an order and they had to stop the building. So it was an opposition, was a challenge they faced. But the reality was they couldn't build for 16 years. And then I would have become discouraged. And I think he, Zerubbabel, the leader at that time, became discouraged. You know, even though God gave this thing, will it ever be completed? Will I ever see this thing happen? I don't think so any longer, because when I look at our capacity, when I look at our means and resources, I start to weigh things up, soos wat ek gedoen het in die begin van die jaar, and I see, shibbit, but is it tekort, man? Hoe gaat ons het maak? 2 en 2 is die 4 hier so nie. Gelukkig met die Here is 2 en 2 nie altyd 4 nie. It's exponential. So, as he was thinking about the situation, the vision clearly, which is the word, clearly shows that this is how Zerubbabel perceived the situation. So it started to become a mountain for Zerubbabel. It's something that's unconquerable, something that's immovable, something that is impossible to overcome. And then the word of the Lord came to him. Through Zechariah, you'll find the scripture in Zechariah. It says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the capstone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. So what the Lord was saying to Zerubbabel here was, it was an encouragement, but it was also very clear that the work that he gave him will not be completed in the strength of man, the abilities of man, in the means of man. It will not be completed that way. It shall be completed. That is the encouragement. But the way that it will be completed is by the power of God. It is by the Holy Spirit. It is by the grace of God. This thing that God gave him shall be completed in this way. And I think God designed it to never be completed without him. Never be completed without his provision. So that's exactly how I felt at the beginning of this year, in last year, when the rebuilding of the temple, which is his mountain, I have a different mountain. I have various mountains. You have a different mountain. We all have these mountains that we look at. When we look through the lens of our own abilities, resources, means, capacities, we will see mountains everywhere. But when we look through this word of God into this year that says, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit, we will see mountains leveled. You know, it's one thing, and it's important to talk to your mountains, speak to the mountain, but I think it's a bit different when God speaks to your mountain. God said, mountain, great mountain, before Zerubbabel, you shall become low. When God speaks, things happen. And I think it's a small shift, but it has a big impact. You know, it had a big impact in my life, the way that I see these things. So, you know, today we are the temple of the living God. The work done in us will not be completed by our own striving. Our character flaws will not be sorted out by our own striving. We will become frustrated, and sometimes that's a good indication that we should turn towards God. The rebuilding in our lives will happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was designed that way. We cannot change ourselves. We can change by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we behold him, we are changed from one degree of glory to the next. But the challenges you are facing, the transformation you are looking for in your marriage, in your life, at your workplace, in our town, in our nation, will not happen without the power of God. But the Lord is speaking to us and saying that it will happen, because he said that the mountain shall become leveled. And he said, when you, Zechariah, bring forth the capstone, that was the last stone to be placed into position, then it was finished and completed. So he said, it shall be completed by you. But the moment it is completed, you will say grace, grace to it. You will... They knew that, well, eventually, they knew that when it was completed, this was not the work of a man. This was the power of God. It was grace working all along, completing this thing that seemed so impossible. I truly hope this word encouraged you this morning. It immensely encouraged me as the Lord opened this to me. And baie gewig van my skouers kom afval. Even gave me a bit of breathing space again. I recalibrated my thoughts. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we know these things, but we have to come back to that truth. Ons het net eers 'n bietjie afgedwaal, and we have to come back to the reality. And I want to do this morning. Phil, sorry, ek het vergeet om vir jou vorentoe te roep. Phil will come and he will gently guide us in a bit of worship. But you know, whatever your mountain is this morning, know this thing that God has given grace. He has made provision of power, of strength, of enablement. He is that source that never runs dry. Important is that our answers, sometimes that completion of the temple will happen after 20 years. Sometimes it will happen after 2 weeks. Depends on what the situation is. But whenever they are completed, we should answer like Tani Junita and say, grace, grace. It was the grace of God completing this, doing this through me. It is never me. All glory to God. I think it's important, not only asking him for that grace, knowing that he will work it through us, but also when it is done, a that we respond appropriately, not taking any of the glory for us, but giving it to Him. So this morning, as you stand with us, as Phil just sets up there, we will be here for prayer if there's something specifically. But my prayer this morning is for whatever mountain is in front of you. If it's a business situation, if it's finances, if it's marriage, and if it's relationships, and if it's just discouragement all around, I want to hand you over this morning into the grace of God, into the power of God. See, there's a great connection between humility and the grace of God. It's mentioned two times, two different books, is God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. The humble person is the one who understands his dependency upon God. He clearly understands he's so dependent upon God. And it's not that you earn it when you are humble. I believe you position yourself like water falls everywhere, but it flows to the low places. It gathers in the low places. And when we become low before God, the grace of God gathers there. There is, I believe, there's different measures of grace, because the scripture says that. And when James says he gives grace to the humble, he says he gives more grace to the humble. So let's position ourselves this year. When you are overwhelmed, when you understand that you need grace, position yourself before God. Come low before God. It's not physically, you can do it, but it's in the heart that we come low before God. It's in the heart. Sometimes we demonstrate that, our position of the heart by the posture of our body, but it's at the heart. It's the becoming aware, God, it is, you've called me for these things. And know this, people, God will always call you out of the boat. You will never run away from that. It will always be situations that when you walk with Him, you can turn your back. He always gives us free will. But we are people that wants to walk in the will of God. Amen? That wants to follow Him. That wants to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we do that, He will lead us out of our comfort zones, out of our natural abilities, out of the place where we our own self could can oplos. Push comes to shove, I can solve this problem through my ability. He will take you to a place where the boat is not visible anymore. And you will be so aware that, God, if you don't keep me on the water, I will sink. But He will keep us because He is faithful. So, Lord, I thank You this morning for this profound truth, Lord. And just even hearing this word, God, the message of Your grace that is so rich, God. There are so many angles to it, God. We are still learning about Your grace, and we have much to learn. Holy Spirit, will You enlighten our eyes? Will You bring us revelation about the grace of God? What it has done for us, but what it is doing for us currently, and in what it will do for us in the future, in Jesus' name. God, but we are humbled when we realize, Lord, that it is freely given, Lord. It's not something that we can strive for or earn, Lord, but it's something that You give because You are good and because You love us, Lord. And Lord, I thank You that whatever mountains are in front of us this year, I pray, God, that there will be a change of lens, Lord. Father, that our reality will become Your reality, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that because You are with us, we will never be shaken, God, and we will never be moved, Lord. Father, I thank You that wherever You are calling us and whatever You are calling us to do, You have made provision for that, God. Teach us to be aware of Your provision and to tap into that, Father. And when the breakthrough come, when the change come, our first response, let it be grace, grace. It was grace all along. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, God. We love you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the good things that you've set out for us to walk in this year. Thank you for the house. Thank you for the family, God. I want to hand them over now into the grace of God to do the work which you have called them to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.